Let me just pray again. Lord, thank you that you're the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll help us to be connected to you and stay connected to you in order that we might reflect your light. Be your light, Lord, in this church. Be your light in this community. Be your light in the world, we pray. Amen. So this morning we're continuing our look in the Psalms with a look at Psalm 67. And I've called it, I'm going to let your light shine. Just generally as an overview of Psalm 67, it's based upon two blessings. It's based upon the Aaronic blessing, which you'll see in Numbers 6, 24 to 26, a very well-known one where it's let your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. We know that one. It's also based upon the Abrahamic blessing in chapter 12, verses 2 to 3, where God says, I will bless you to bless others, to bless the entire world. This is also a song that was sung at the harvest time. It was sung around the time of Pentecost. And it has a very simple structure. It's basically saying, bless us, shine upon us, so that all the nations will be blessed. It has two little sections, little refrains, where it's praise and joy for God's rule and guidance in the world, praise and joy for God's provision of the harvest. And then it's again, bless us so that all nations will be blessed. Some short little points here from this message. The first one is, may his face shine upon us. And this is based upon the Aaronic blessing from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. And we read, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And so the psalm takes this simple prayer of blessing. And I was thinking this week, you know, how does that apply to us? How is God blessing us, being gracious to us, shining his face upon us? And I think that the primary way that we can say that God has blessed us and made his face to shine upon us is Jesus and his grace. And this is why. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Jesus is the light of God, so to speak, and the exact likeness of God. In Matthew 17, and you'll see it in some of the other Gospels, Peter, James, and John go up with Jesus onto the mountain, and he is transfigured before them. And it says his face shone like the sun. They saw Jesus' face shining on them, so to speak. John writes at the beginning of his Gospel, we have seen the glory, his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And he goes on to say in verse 16, grace upon grace. Not just a little grace, but grace upon grace. Amazing grace. And so we're saved by grace and not by the law. That's one of the amazing blessings that we have. And Jesus has saved us by his work on the cross. And so if we are going to let Jesus shine in our church, in our community, the first way of application is we need to grow, says Peter, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Imagine you only had to do two things in your entire Christian life. Peter would say, you've got to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, our Savior. Secondly, we are blessed to bless. We're not blessed for our own sakes, but we're blessed to bless. And that comes from the Abrahamic blessing. God literally says to Abraham, I will bless you. You will be a blessing. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. He was blessed to bless. We are blessed to bless. And I think one of the important ways that we pass on blessings, and the psalm opens it up for us, is mission. We read, you know, in verse 1, it says, may God be gracious to us and bless us, make his face shine upon us. Why? So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. And so one of the ways that we bless others is making God's ways known on the earth. Paul draws up or picks up on this theme about Abraham's blessed to bless the nations, where he talks about Abraham's seed, he says, that is Christ, has fulfilled that promise to Abraham. Jesus has fulfilled that promise. And he says in Galatians 3:14, because of what Jesus has done, the blessing promised to Abraham was taken to the Gentiles. And so he's saying, you know, Abraham's promise wasn't just to bless the Jews, but it was to bless the whole nations, all the nations. Jesus came, and now the gospel is going out to all nations. People are being blessed, as this psalm says, so that your way may be known among the Jews. No, it says, so that your salvation may be known among all the nations. This week, I'm going to be in Ethiopia, and I'm doing a phase 2, and then I'll do a phase 4, which is about the book of Acts. And what we try to do as we talk about the book of Acts is we're helping them to think about church planting, taking the gospel message to others. And we show them a picture of this map. And we say, this is basically the map of Acts, that Luke is trying to show us how the gospel began in Jerusalem. And by the end, chapter 28, it makes it all the way to Rome. It tries to show you how it began as a Jewish faith, a movement within Jewish Christianity. By the end, it's a Gentile. It's a global movement. It's gone to Ethiopia. It's gone to Rome. It's going to all the world. It tries to show us how it began with Peter, but by the middle of Acts, it's transitioned to Paul, who is the apostle to the Gentiles. It tries to show us how we make this bridge between the Gospels, Jesus, to the epistles. If we didn't have Acts, we would suddenly get to the epistles and we said, well, how come the church is getting all these letters? And we were, what happened? So it shows us how the gospel is moving outwards. It's going from a local movement in Jerusalem to a global movement. So I think that second application for letting Jesus shine is this. This is written to the Jews, Isaiah 49 verse 6, but I think it is written to the church. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. And so the Jews were meant to bring God's salvation to the ends of the earth. They did not do that. They kept it pretty much to themselves. But the church takes on this mission. We are called to take God's salvation to the ends of the world. We're to take it locally. We're to take it nationally. We're to take it globally. And I think if, as we begin to think about that, it should affect the way we pray. It should affect the way we give. It should affect the way that we act. And God is at work in all kinds of ways. And so the other day I was talking to an Indian man, and I can't remember, he was from a sect within Hinduism. But I said, well, I'm a Christian. And he said, oh, he said, I've been watching The Chosen every week. He says, you know, I just love it. He said, I'm really looking forward to the next one where, you know, Jesus is this. I said, oh, you mean like crucified? Yeah, crucified. He was so excited about Chosen. So all I said to him, I said, you know, he also went on to say, you know, I've discovered all religions are the same. They always have a leader. He has disciples that he teach. And I said, there is one difference, I said, between Christianity and every other religion. He said, well, what is that? I said, it's grace. you know, every other religion is what you've got to do to please God. And grace is God has done everything needed to bring you into relationship with him. So there's opportunities every single day to share our faith locally. The third one is praise and joy for God's rule or guidance. It says, may the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity. That was our point last week, equity. And you guide the nations of the earth. And so we have this, the nations praising God's rule, equity, and guidance. And God's goodness, I believe, is seen by the world as we live according to his word. As we bring, we talked about it last week, God's shalom, his peace, his flourishing to the world, to relationships. And so we see gospel works, or we display gospel works. The gospel is changing us. The gospel is blessing us. The gospel is blessing communities. As people see it, they say, I want to have a part of that. So I have a friend who, I go to Sierra Leone, he's a medical doctor. And they do these clinics in a very poor part of Sierra Leone. And it's a Muslim area, and the Muslims see this doctor coming. They see people being, you know, healed through medicine. And they say, you know, I think I'm going to become a Christian. I can see the works of God worked out. And so I want to say very clearly, yes, we are saved by grace and not by works. That's Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. But straight away, verse 10, do not forget it because it's so important. We're saved by grace and not by works. But it goes on to say, but we're saved to do good works that God's prepared in advance for us to do. God has created us in Jesus Christ to do good works. And then we think, well, what are these good works? You know, God, he shows us. One of the good works in Ephesians is unity between Jew and Gentile. Another one is holiness. How do we sort of protect sort of our lives and live holy lives, forgive each other, and all kinds of have, you know, marriages where the husband lays down his life for his wife. And that he just shows us how it works out in our lives. And so we are blessed to do good works. And Peter brings that up. Do you remember last year we talked about Peter, his letters? He says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. So we're really blessed. We're blessed with this amazing calling and identity. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So we are to declare through our lives God's light. And then Peter, a couple of verses on, he goes on to say, following the same theme, live such good lives among the pagans that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. And so we are to declare God's praises. And he shows us, how do we declare it? We live such good lives among the pagans, among the people out there. We live such good lives that they may glorify God on the day he visits us. And I think, you know, there's going to be a number of them will see good works and say, I'm actually interested. Maybe I'll go along to Datchet Baptist Church and check it out. They might find a relationship with Jesus. And even if they don't, one day they'll stand before God and they say, you know, I actually saw you at work through the members of Datchet Baptist Church. This is a picture of the early church. Kind of looks like communion, but this is supposed to be based on Acts 2, 42 to 47. I just found it on the internet. And if you remember, we've talked about it, the church was selling property and they were sharing with those who had need. We talked about it last week. They were balancing equity. They were making adjustments. They were balancing, incorrecting imbalances. But it goes on to say, because of that witness, that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so the good works produced by the gospel led to church growth. And so I think an application to letting Jesus shine is what Jesus said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Fourthly, there's praise and joy for gospel harvest. And I've added in the word gospel words. In the context is praise for the harvest. It was sung at Pentecost, which was the ending of the barley harvest, the first fruits, and the beginning of the wheat harvest, the main harvest. And in a way, it's a foreshadow of Pentecost, where the church is empowered by God's Spirit to take the gospel, the good news, to all of the world. The good news is the message of Jesus Christ and his grace to all of the world. And Jesus says, just before Pentecost, just before he returns to heaven, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so the work of the Spirit was to begin this harvest where we take God's message to the ends of the earth and we begin this great harvest of souls. And I'm so privileged because I go to Ethiopia, and this is the church we'll be in on Tuesday. This is a church in a town called Dore. We're training about 50 leaders there. And that's one of our trainers leading a prayer time. But I get to visit countries and visit Christians from lots of different cultures. And I sit there many times and I think, wow, it reminds me, it's like a foretaste of heaven, where we see in Revelation, Revelation 7, 9 to 10, John says, I looked and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That's just a tremendous picture of this great harvest. The gospel has gone out to every single people group in the world. And then there's this great gathering where you'll see people from every tribe and nation and tongue gathered before Jesus and worshiping him and saying, salvation belongs to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, to Jesus. And so I think an application for this point, make a little connection, turning on the light, as Jesus said, pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. And all we're to do is to pray. And we start praying for our neighbor. We start praying for God to send some more, you know, missionaries out. God praying for our church to be a witness. And we keep praying and we just see what happens. Maybe God will send us into the harvest field ourselves. Or maybe God will answer one of our prayers. And then finally, as we work through this thing, may God bless us still. And this chapter, verse 7 says, may God bless us still so that the ends of the earth will fear him. And I like that word still, because it's looking back. It's looking back to God blessing Abraham so that Abraham would bless the world. It's looking back to Aaron, who was blessing Israel so they could bless the world. For us, we look back to the early church. God blessed the church with the Holy Spirit so that they could take the message to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the Ethiopian eunuch, to the Gentiles in Antioch, to Paul's trips all over the sort of Mediterranean area, to Asia Minor. And then it says, God will bless us still today. God has blessed us today so that we can bless the world. And so we go from the Old Testament to the New Testament to today. God is blessing us still. To tomorrow, God will bless us still so that we can bless others. And I think we join loudly with the psalmist as we sing out at the end, may God bless us still so that the ends of the earth will fear him. We are blessed, not for our own sake. That's prosperity. You know, God will bless you and give you a private jet. You know, or whatever. No, God will bless us so that we might bless the ends of the earth, and that everyone of the world might fear him. And so just to drill into those points, we need to light up our hearts with Christ and his grace. I think it comes to that. We need to know Christ and to grow in his grace. We need to realize that we're called to be a light to the world. It's not just, okay, let's, you know, have a nice bright light in here, but we'll kind of put out the lights as we go out. No, it's we are a light to the world. We've got to let his light shine through our words, through our deeds. We've got to be bearers of his light to the world. We've got to have, you know, that message within us and pray for opportunities to share it and to tell people the good news. And we've got to remind ourselves that we are blessed today with his light so that we can bless the ends of the earth with the light of his salvation. Amen.